Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
the Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. What is happening here on a Thursday morning on the roast. Shout out to YouTube and Twitch. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. Upgrade your savings dividend. Open a First NorCal First Class Money Market today. And you can now download the Odyssey app directly from our YouTube and Twitch pages as we have added a QR code on both pages, the Xfinity Mobile Text Line. Shout out to our friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. If you're going to call it to the roast, you better bring it, because if you don't, you will be flushed. Brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. We'll get to Anthony Slater in just a second. Real quick, let's go to Amar and San Leandro. Amar and San Leandro, real quick, before we get to Slates. What's up, Amar?
Yeah, this loss is super painful. I think I'm just now starting to come to terms with it. But what hurts even more is the fact that LeBron James, at the age of 40 or almost 40, is out there like the Dragon Slayer, while we took a loss, and that should have been us taking that win. But I think all options need to be on the table now. Steph needs to consider all options. If Steph wants to go, we need to make it happen for him so he can get another ring somewhere else, or things practically need to be blown up so that Steph can get the support that he needs. But a very, very painful loss, and I'm still trying to process it.
All right, painful for a lot of members that are going to say Warriors.
This is a question that I'm sure we'll have throughout the offseason, but, like, chasing the fifth, is that just going to do, like, is that a fool's errand, I guess, is what I'm saying. Are you going to exhaust all your resources and it makes the comeback up? Like, because you're not guaranteed anything on either end, but exhausting all your resources to chase something that may not ever come to fruition, is that even worth the exercise?
I don't know.
That sounds stupid to say out loud.
We have Steph Curry. I don't know what. I don't know what you do here. Let's talk to Anthony Slater, our 95.7 Game Insider, Warriors Insider for The Athletic. The Warriors are in a tough situation. There's no doubt about that. As the season ended Tuesday night in Sacramento, look, they were not a great team all year. Some would say they were not good. They were in a 10 seed in the Western Conference, and I know they did win 46 games, but they beat up on some cupcakes. But when you think about the top of the standings, 0-3 against Minnesota, 0-4 against Denver, 1-3 against OKC, 1-3 against the Clippers, 1-3 against the Mavericks, 1-2 against the Pelicans. You're a 1-3 against the Suns. You're a 2-2 against the Kings. They were not good against the Western Conference this season. How do you get better against the West? Do you run it back? Do you get younger? Do you make moves here? Anthony, what's happening, man? Good morning to you. Sorry you had to hear all that. But, yeah, very interesting offseason ahead for the Golden State Warriors. I guess that's the understatement of the month.
I think you could say 2-3 against the Kings, too.
2-3, I guess. Yeah, not 2-2 yeah. When you had to play it, yeah.
A pretty big three. Yeah, I would say, it is a large offseason. But, you know, I mean, and Steve Kerr, I know, was on your airwaves last night. He's going to talk today. My child is not happy with the offseason.
who is your child trading right now? Break it down for us, offseason.
You know, he's still kind of assessing the team. I would say that, you know, like, they're talking about trimming money. It's very difficult to get better while lowering salary. So I just think they're in a transition phase. I'm sure that's not something Steph Curry necessarily wants to hear, you know, just having just turned 36. But I don't hear a team, I don't hear a management that is like, we're ready to press fast forward salary-wise and keep going as deep into the tax as possible to compete for titles. I know they're not going to say it that clearly, but they're talking about trimming salary. How are you doing that necessarily while, you know, getting better?
Yeah, I want to play this for you. You asked Klay Thompson the first question. I thought his presser yesterday, you could tell he was very uncomfortable. He was quirky. He was putting his head down when you guys were answering questions. Looked very uncomfortable for Klay there. But I want to ask you about this interaction here. You asked the first question to Klay Thompson. Here's your response, Anthony.
Your future with the Warriors heading into this offseason, that feels obviously pretty unknown.
We don't want to talk about the season first. You want to talk about the future? There was a lot of games played, man. That was a pretty big accomplishment. So with y'all not wanting to live in the present, bro. It's ridiculous. Anyways, what was your question?
So that happens. The day before, he's talking, right before the game against Sacramento, I think you put out the video, where he's like, yeah, I don't know what the future holds. It just does not feel like Klay is handling this upcoming free agency very well. And the way the game ended, it's Tuesday night going 0-10 and 0-6 from 3. Hopefully he doesn't put a damper on his solid season, especially since the All-Star break. But what did you take out of that interaction there? Were you surprised that he responded the way he did to you, Anthony?
Not really. I mean, you got to know he's coming. He's at that point like 14 hours off the most, maybe a top three most frustrating games of his career, right? You could definitely throw the elimination game last year into it. He had a fat lip too. I don't know if you guys could see that on the broadcast. It was a physical game, and he just come off an exit interview. With, you know, and I don't even mean the one with us. I mean the one with Dunleavy and Kerr, where his futures, you know, kind of started to come into the picture. And I'm sure he was hoping he would get up there and we would go, hey, you played 70-something games. Hey, you were fourth in the NBA in threes. Hey, you know, let's talk about the fact that you did have a great season. But the reality is he did not talk the night before. He kind of like bolted out of the arena very quick, which is fine because we know he's talking the next day. He's last on the list of players to go. He's talking at 3 p.m. And every single media member there was there to talk to Klay Thompson about his future. That was the story yesterday. So it's like, boom, first question, let's go. And he knows it coming in. And I'm not going to necessarily say that was a prepared answer, but I do think there is a level of frustration with him that maybe there isn't much of a look back, a legacy look at what's going on. All we care about from a society right now is he going to be around in the future? You know, we all know he kind of has these, you know, thoughts societally in general, and he's kind of trying to get his mind to live in the present, right? That was part of his season this year. He was maybe thinking about the past and legacy and this too much, and Steve Kerr had told him, hey, just enjoy this season, enjoy what you still have left. So, I don't know, maybe it was a lecture to us, maybe it was a lecture to himself, to society in general, but, and, you know, I guess his other point is correct. It is April 17th. Like, the decision doesn't technically need to be made till July 1st, but trust me when I tell you the conversations will be starting to happen, like, very soon.
Is he coming back?
We'll see. I think yesterday's press conference only, you know, put it more into question if he will come back. I think it's a market he needs to explore. I think the Warriors need to, and I'm talking more management ownership, need to show him the love, not only financially, but just like, hey, like, you know, we're not necessarily trying to figure out 10 different mechanisms of who we're going to sign, who we could go after this offseason. You know, your priority number one. Will the Warriors do that? I don't know. I mean, that's something they need to look at, and they're going to look at over the next few weeks. But I would say it is certainly not a surety that Klay Thompson comes back.
So I mean, I want to get into the specifics because, like, if they – you know, right now, without doing anything, without adding Klay's to next year's roster, like, they're $3 million over whatever that top of that cap is. So let's say they waive CP3 and somebody else, Kevon Looney or someone else, hypothetically. Really, like, it feels like the most they can give him is $30 million a year, and that would really leave them in a very, you know, compromised situation. What's the number if he stays here?
From what I'm told, especially if you wipe Chris Paul's $30 million straight off the books, and you know, you like you mentioned, you can do some other maneuvering. Only $3 million of Kevon Looney's $8 million is guaranteed. There is a contract that from my understanding, he would likely accept that would still keep the Warriors, you know, kind of under that tax line. Now, everything's still kind of fluctuating. You don't get the exact numbers till right around the free agency. So every little dollar can take it upwards or downwards. But, you know, we're probably talking in the mid-20 range. You know, I think length matters a lot here. Length always matters to, like, these older stars that want long-term security. It mattered to Draymond Green, right? He took a lower annual value to get a fourth season. So it's not necessarily are we talking, oh, 24 to 27 million. It's more are we talking, you know, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, you know, right. Player option on the back end, that type of stuff. And then it's also like, you know, if it's taken out to the market, what would an Orlando, a Dallas, a Philadelphia, like how upward would they go? And is it going to get to the point where the Warriors are sitting there, you know, bidding against others, or you know, what's crazy? He could have signed an extension tomorrow. He could have signed one yesterday. Like, he's extension eligible right now.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, I've talked to people about Harrison Barnes last year, about 3 days before free agency started, signed an extension. So it could happen at any point. Like, the Warriors could not bid against them, bid against others if they tried to get it done quickly. I don't expect that to happen, but it is possible.
You know, the years thing is interesting because Shask and I were just having a conversation. I was saying, you know, why would Clay take 2 years when he looked around and saw Draymond get to 4 years? And he saw Andrew Wiggins get to 4 year extension. I know Draymond's younger than Clay and Wiggins is younger than Clay, but he sees that. He's thinking, all right, now I'm willing to take 4 years too, or at least three with the player option that both of those players received. Now, speaking of one of those players, Andrew Wiggins, he spoke yesterday and he admitted he took accountability. I'll give him that. Said, I was not good this year individually. What happens with Andrew Wiggins moving forward here? Because it's been two up and down seasons for him. Obviously, you see the potential. You see the ability to be a lockdown defender. But it's been too inconsistent and not the same guy we saw on that way to a championship in 2022. What happens with Andrew Wiggins? How does this team or this front office feel about Wiggs, Anthony?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. You know, I would say he was the most available name at the deadline. Like, that wasn't really a secret. I don't think the offers were that great. His contract went from when he signed it right after the 2022 finals. You know, the league and pundits believed it was team friendly to player friendly at this point. I think his future, probably of the guys that are locked in long term, is the most unknown. I'm not. It kind of depends on what his value is. I know we got.
No, I love it, bro. Honestly, this has been my life the last couple of months. So I'm so happy. I'm not the only one going through it.
How old is this little Anthony? How old is he, Slater?
He turned one this month.
Wow. So he's walking around. Yeah, he's doing all the talking now.
Yeah. As you can tell right now. Yeah. but yeah, no. The Wiggins answer was interesting yesterday. To quickly answer your question, yeah, I do think his future, like I said, about as unsettled as anybody. And, you know, if we talk about needing to trim, you know, small millions of dollars here and there to, you know, maybe open up some more cap space for a Clay, for whatever you want to do, you could make some type of trade that maybe brought in a little bit less salary, attached picks. I don't know. His salary's maneuverable for sure.
So, all right, so let's break down Chris Paul. And I want to do this quickly because there's a lot to get into. I read that if they opt in to Chris Paul, he can only be traded with a pick, not with another player, and you'd have to get the exact same salary in return back. So will they opt in, or is he gone? And then I have a follow-up on Chris Paul.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting because these second apron rules are very new. So, like, I don't want to speak with certainty on, like, what all the new restrictions are. And the other thing is, like, when they trigger, because a lot of them haven't triggered yet. They gave every team like an extra year before they did. The one interesting thing about his deal, like, let's say you want to trade for a person that's $12 million, you can actually guarantee him 12 of the 30 million, equal the exact salary, send that out theoretically with a pick, which would entice a team to do that, right? Huh. And then they could take the player, cut the rest of the salary. They only spent 12 million on it, so his salary is actually really. It's a flexible vehicle to you know, trade, but it guarantees on June 28th. So it's something that, like, it's a sped up process of trying to figure out his future. And Chris Paul's going to be a voice within that, right? I mean, like, you know, he's just kind of got a powerful voice within that. If nothing can get done, I mean, it's very possible it's just wiped off the books June 28th, which, by the way, when they traded for Jordan Poole, or they traded Jordan Poole for him, that was part of the appeal, right? Because they want to duck the second apron. They may want to duck the tax.
But, like, okay, so I'm glad you brought up, because, like, they traded Jordan Poole for this guy, you know? And all year, they, like, managed his minutes and his time and everything to get to the playoffs. It was all about playoffs. This was a playoff game. Now, they were probably going to lose the game no matter what, all right? So I'm not here sitting here saying it was the end-all, be-all. But when I saw pods go in, not just in the first half, but in the second half before CP3, when you needed to kind of stabilize things and slow things down and you needed another ball handler, I just threw my hands up. I'm like, what were they doing? Did anybody clarify as to what the thought process was there?
Well, I'd say two things. Since they made the trade, basically a year ago, things have changed. This transit team is transitioning. Pajemski matters for the future. It's probably more important to them to get Pajemski big playoff type minutes than Chris Paul, because Chris Paul is probably not going to be here next year. That's number one. Number two, like, whatever they tried to pump, post trade, you know, and the fact that they were going to go through a year with Chris Paul, they thought he was going to help down the line. They thought he could stabilize the second unit. I actually thought he had a pretty good season.
Me too. I'm with you.
But they made the trade for financial reasons. Yep. They made the trade because Jordan Poole was making 4 years, $123 million, and Chris Paul was making 1 year, $30 million. And they made the trade for, and, you know, I thought Dunleavy post trade was pretty transparent about it too. If you go back to his press conference, I mean, optionality, right? I mean, I know they use these terms that are kind of, you know, ambiguous, but there you go again. It was done because they're trying to trim money as they get older. Yeah. I mean, they're trying to duck this stuff. Like, they're saying it too, by the way. Joe Lacob has said this publicly.
Yep. No, Anthony, I know you got the baby there, and I want to get you out of here so you can attend to him. He needs attention. We don't need it as much.
Tell him I'm mad, too.
Lastly, on Moody and Kuminga, where are their psyches at heading into the offseason? Kuminga had a big pop in his third year, but down the stretch, started hearing from feds, and he was out of the rotation. We went out of the rotation, but out of rhythm, not knowing when he's playing. And, of course, Moses Moody all season long, having to stay ready despite not having his number called. And he helped save the game in the second quarter. Where are their mentals at heading into the offseason? I wonder, Moses Moody and Jonathan Kuminga, as they head into their fourth season.
Well, Kuminga was, I asked him about his extension eligibility yesterday. He's like, oh, I'm extension eligible. Didn't realize that. I hadn't thought about it. That's where his mind should be, right? This is future. He's entering that Jordan Poole off season. Does he sign the big deal? Now, that's probably more October business than, July, August business. Right. But that, he played well enough. I think he showed enough that, like, if the Warriors decide to take him to restricted free agency the following summer, like, I think he'll have a market in this league, right? I mean, I think we're talking about a potentially $100 million-plus type contract heading his way down the line. So that's where he should be at. Moody, I mean, did you hear his press conference yesterday?
I did.
It was deep. It was reflective. It was within all the maturity that he continues to show, about as mature as you can imagine a player, of his age. He also, I think, admitted, like, this needs to be figured out. I need to know, like, he is a rotation player in the NBA.
Yeah.
I think it's certainly fine with him if that's with the Warriors. He would love for it to be with the Warriors. But I just think, and, he doesn't necessarily have enough power in the league to just be like, demand, like, guarantee me a rotation spot. But if Klay Thompson's coming back and they're running it back and Moses Moody's entering camp as, like, the 9th, 10th, 11th man, like, I don't think he's going to be too pleased about that. Again, I don't think he's going to be shaking tables. But he's at a point, by the way, he's extension eligible this summer. He's heading towards future, what's going to happen. Like, I think he just wants to know, like, I'm playing every night. Right. I'm playing 25 minutes because he's good enough to.
Lastly, I know we've talked a lot about Clay, but I just want to circle back on it. I'm getting the feeling that, when you look at it, Anthony, you cover this team and you do it as well as anybody out there. Is it best for the Warriors to move off from Clay? And is it best for Clay to move off from the Warriors? In his style, just from a basketball standpoint, they're getting older. He doesn't move as well as he used to. It's obvious he could still get buckets. He's averaging 18. He got some great splits coming out of the All-Star break. But is a divorce best for both sides here moving forward?
It's a good question. I mean, Steve Kerr made the point postgame that, like, they really still need his floor spacing. And, that's part of why he will have a market. Like, what he does still carries a lot of value in the league. I mean, just the gravity, the off-ball stuff. You come down off a screen, you get doubled, a guy can slip for a dunk. No, I think there's a grander question for the Warriors. Like, you need to just revamp your system. You need to revamp who you are. Are you going to just be like, Trayce Jackson-Davis, and maybe you get a center this offseason and you're pick and roll heavy with Steph, and you just kind of you change your ethos. And then maybe, you know, elevating Moody, where he's kind of your shooter. He gets a lot of the Clay minutes. Like,
right.
I could hear that argument from the Warrior side, from the Clay side. Maybe. Like, I do think he could go elsewhere for a few years, especially if he picked the right system, a Philly next to Embiid in Orlando, where they desperately need shooting and really help, like, a winning team. But then I also take three steps back and go, like, do you want to see, like, the Patrick Ewing-style photos of, like, when Ewing was wearing a Magic jersey or Allen Iverson was wearing a Grizzlies jersey?
I'm Chris not Mullin in a Pacers form. Jersey.
All right. Yeah. Mullin was good with the Pacers. Hakeem in a Raptors jersey. That was fascinating.
You see him defending his guy Mullin right there. You know?
You got to see with Shasky, but Shasky lost him.
I was rooting for him.
Mully and
what
everything like
about?
That. You know, Mully was. Yeah. Mully, no.
I'm a white
Ewing,
guy from San Francisco.
Ewing was
Mully's
cooked.
One of my favorite players.
No, what Anthony's talking about here. Ewing was cooked in Orlando. Well, Hakeem was cooked in Toronto.
But I don't think Clay's cooked.
Mully wasn't cooked in Indiana. That's all I'm saying.
But similar to Clay, yeah. I don't think he's cooked. Yeah, I just think, you know, it's just.
If you take a shot to my guy from Brooklyn, man, be careful. What?
How was I taking shots?
Anthony said it, not me. Why are you getting so mad? Relax. I just start crying like Anthony's kid.
Where Shassi's right is Clay isn't cooked, and I'm not saying that. But it's just like, I could see in the moment why it could feel better for both sides to separate, and maybe that is the right thing to do, but also there is a legacy stuff at play, and sure, people, you know, can laugh at the Giants, right, for keeping a lot of their guys around as long as they did, and maybe that wasn't the right call, but, like, I don't know, do y'all want to see Klay Thompson in a different uniform? Should this trio, you know, get to kind of, like, finish out its era together or not? Yeah. I don't know, I mean, it's part of the equation, at least.
Yeah, alright, man, I heard the Tesla, I know that beep. I know that beep.
Is that what that was? I didn't
that
know what
was
that
beep.
Was.
Yeah,
I'm getting beeped at from all angles right now.
Well, Anthony, hey, good stuff all season.
Pager.
Good stuff all season long. We'll talk to you. We'll make it work at some point during the offseason. We always appreciate the time. You always are willing to play goofy with us.
Yeah, you should fill in for me and Bonte at the Warrior Summit.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great.
Give me a date, and I could probably make it happen.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you can fill in for us for sure. Anthony, always good stuff, man. You do a hell of a job. We mean that. You're the best on the beat, man. I think you're a star. Hopefully, we can keep you in this market for a long, long time. But we always appreciate your insight, man. You know the game inside and out. We always appreciate
Thanks, buddy.
Your time.
All right, fellas, heading to New Orleans today for Kings Pelicans. I'm sure y'all fired up about that.
I got my po' boys ready. Jambalaya, gumbo, you know, and all. I think the Kings, but you know what? I think the Kings are going to win, Anthony. I think they're going to win on Friday.
No Zion.
How happy you get talking about the Kings.
No, I'm just saying, talk basketball.
Then it's Kings Thunder.
The Warriors full of shot. It could have been playing on Sunday. Anyway.
They had no chance against the Thunder.
Well, you didn't believe that a week ago.
Yeah,
all right, Slater, get
happened.
Out of here. See
hey,
what I got to
hey,
deal
how
with?
How about this? How about this Mike Dunleavy exit interview today? I'm going to that also, so that's more interesting.
Ooh, double dipping. Yeah,
12 o'clock. 12 o'clock. Yeah. Cannot wait for that. All
Thanks,
right,
bud.
Anthony.
All right, fellas.
Anytime.
Monte, can we, just for a moment, because we've been spending a lot of time on Klay Thompson, I do want to talk about Moses Moody, and this kind of goes back to what I was saying. Like, I just personally believe, and I will sit here and say, I'd love to be proven wrong, but I have a hard time feeling like Kerr, with Klay on the bench and Moody on the bench, he'll pick Moody consistently over Klay. And I get it. I'm not saying I'm even like, I get where he's coming from, but like, it is either or. And not that Moody is going to be a better all-around Warrior than what Klay was. No, like, Klay's one of the all-time franchise greats.
But if you bring him back, Moody's going to be looking over his shoulder all season long, and Kerr, when it comes down to it, is going
to
play Klay Thompson a lot.
So,
he's going to, because he trusts Klay Thompson.
But I do believe that's kind of a microcosm of what they've been in.
Yeah, the last 2 years.
Yeah,
the last 2 years
has been
that.
They're afraid to pivot.
It's the last 2 years. Like, how much better would Moody have been this year and Kuminga have been this year running into the season had they played a lot last season over Anthony Lamb and Ty Jerome?
And it's not just Klay. You know? Like, there's
it's
a Wiggins
just,
portion. There's a GP2 portion.
Wiggins missed 2 months last year, and they got run, and then Wiggins comes back, and nobody gets
exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Who
it's,
was the
it's
other guard that he loved? Ty Jerome last year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just – so the point being is that I actually was shocked, and we're going to play some of the sound on the other side. Kerr was talking about why he didn't play, and it was like passing and how they got to practice two-hand. And he was talking about Kuminga as well. Like, there's just so much to the Moses Moody not playing. And to me, it was like, okay, what the hell is going on at practice when you guys say you don't practice that much? Because when the guy plays, I do see positive results. I'm not here sitting, oh, the guy's the next SGA. No, that's not here what I'm saying. But also, like, I just felt like he deserved a little more.
I also want to hear Moody, because Moody was very interesting. Moody was very, very interesting last night, saying, I need to find out a role. And meanwhile, Brendan Podziski's talking about, you know, naturally he's going to see the ball more. And Moody's trying to figure out what his role is going into his fourth year. And Pods is a rookie going into his second year thinking that he's going to be handling the ball a lot more. Something's got to shake, man.
Make sure you don't miss that break, bro.
All right, more Warriors stuff. 888-957-9570. That's all coming up, brought to you by Safeway.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.